Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission calling this meeting to order. So I will first entertain a motion to approve the May 6, 2021 meeting minutes. Is there a motion, Sean?
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the May 6th meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
This is Eileen. I second.
And without objection, we are going to approve the May 6, 2021 meeting minutes. For the regular agenda, we have the petition of Elise Rush at 5201 Waters Avenue, and Kiyokala will be doing the presentation for staff.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board. Item number two on the agenda is a petition to paint a mural on the property in the Medical Arts neighborhood. The subject property is located at 2501 Waters Avenue. Testing. We're good.
Yeah, you maybe just do a quick, well, you can breeze through that first part, but go ahead and repeat yourself if you don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, so from the top, this petition is for a mural on a property in the Medical Arts neighborhood at 2501 Waters Avenue, in the vicinity map here, it just shows the general area of the subject property where this mouse is. It shows where the hospital on Durant Avenue is. This aerial map shows a closer scale of the subject property on the corner of East 66 and Waters Avenue. Once again, the subject property is the site of a proposed dance studio for children. The mural is proposed to be located on the front of the building and will depict a large floral pattern in either full color or black and white grayscale. In this image, what I have on the screen is just an example of what the petitioner is looking to have on her building. So according to the Historic Site and Monument Commission guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art, murals shall be regulated by a set of standards and guidelines to ensure the appropriateness and compatibility for and with their proposed locations. Just a few of these standards regarding theme. The content of a mural is protected under the laws of free speech. The mural must apply or comply with Georgia obscenity laws and cannot depict sexual conduct or sexual explicit nudity, nor advertise any activity illegal under the laws of Georgia or the United States. Staff's comment in regards to this standard is that the standards are met. The mural complies with the Georgia obscenity laws and does not contain or advertise any lewd imagery or messages. The mural does not advertise any illegal activities under the laws of Georgia or the United States. Standards in regards to location. The installation of a mural should complement and enhance the building and be incorporated architecturally into the facade. The location of the mural on the building should not cover or detract from significant or character-defining architectural features. Staff's comment is that the standards are met. The mural will not cover the entire facade of the building. It is proposed to be painted on the innermost gable wall. The next standard is murals should enhance and complement the character of the surrounding neighborhood. Murals should not be located in an area which may cause undue distraction to drivers, thereby creating a safety hazard. Staff's comment is that the standards are met. The mural will complement and enhance the character of the community. The black and white grayscale color scheme may be a better fit for this location since it matches the theme of surrounding buildings. A full-colored mural at this location may serve as a distraction to drivers, particularly being so close to the front of the road, the front of the road and right away. As a correction, I'd like to go back and say this is actually 5201 Waters Avenue. I believe I said 2501 earlier. The next standard is that murals generally should be located in mixed use and commercial areas. Staff's comment is that this standard is met. The subject property is located in the neighborhood business zoning district, a district established to permit small scale, neighborhood oriented, non-residential uses and upper story residences. This immediate portion of Waters Avenue consists of restaurants and office uses. The subject property is near the Memorial Health University. A residential neighborhood is located two blocks east of the subject property. Regarding design, the scale of the mural should be appropriate to the building and site. The mural should be appropriate with the context of the surrounding neighborhood. The mural should be an original design. Staff's comment is that the scale and design of the mural are appropriate for this location and standards are met. Paint utilized should be of superior quality and intended for exterior use. Staff's comment is that this information was not made available at the time of the application. However, the applicant reached out and recently confirmed that the paint will be of high quality and weather and graffiti resistant. Regards to the qualifications of the artist, the standard states that the artist should have completed projects of similar size and scale in the public arena and be able to provide appropriate documentation. The artist should have an excellent reputation and be able to provide verifiable references attesting to the quality of work. The artist should be able to provide images or samples of existing similar monuments or works of art. The artist should be able to demonstrate the ability to meet the proposed time frame. Staff's comment states that the artist of the mural is named Stephen Teller, and he is an experienced artist and has completed numerous projects of similar size and scale. And I'm going to pull up his website that gives a few images of his completed murals, which I have here on the screen. And these are a number of murals that the artist has completed already. Public notices were posted on the site and mailed within 200 feet, mailed to property owners within 200 feet of the subject property. As to date, staff has not received any phone calls or mail or email notifications with any support or opposition to this petition. In closing, staff recommends approval of the mural at 5201 Waters Avenue with the following conditions: to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because otherwise it meets the standards of the master plan. The first condition is that the black and white color scheme be utilized. The second condition is that the paint utilized is of superior quality and intended for exterior use. And finally, that the mural has a weatherproof and vandalism resistant coating. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Is the petitioner here?
Not in person, but she
may be. I mean, is the petitioner online? Okay, so I maybe ask that. I have a quick question, and I'll let rest of the board. So the recommendation for it to be black and white, is that just an aesthetic preference that you said might be distracting?
Yeah, we determined that it may be a distraction to drivers because there isn't any structure or any color pattern on that particular area of Waters that, you know, has a similar pattern that which is proposed in this picture here.
Okay, I mean, because I would say I way prefer the color, that there needs to be color on that avenue, but that, I mean, is there beyond that? It's just
other buildings on that strip, they're pretty much the same color, like, you know, gray or white. There's not anything that's standing out in color, so staff thought that this could be a distraction. Not necessarily saying that it is, or
I understand, but that's the reasoning behind that,
correct?
Okay, I got you. Tom.
I live in this neighborhood. I live right down the street from here, and I drive by this every day almost, and I personally wouldn't see any reason why you wouldn't want to incorporate the color. This artist is a great, he seems to be a very good colorist as far as I can see in his other work. Mm-hmm. And this is a rather drab section of Waters, because I know I live right near here. And I would be very happy to see it a little more colorful. I mean, there are restaurants further towards Durin that have their, you know, on their facade, not directly on the street, that have more color. I know black and white to me seems, I don't really agree that, you know, the color is going to really create accidents or distractions personally.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my comment. It's beautiful the way it is. He's really good colorist, so I would hate to limit him in that sense personally.
I agree. I very much prefer the color. My question is this the design that's chosen, this floral?
I'm not necessarily sure. I think the petitioner can better answer that question.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Regarding the color, and I echo every single statement that's already been made. My only question is, in the picture that's on the screen right now, the building that's, if you're at the left with the yellow awning portion, that building used to have a burrito place in it that had on its sign, the business's sign, which unfortunately is no longer there, had a lot of vibrant colors just like this. So would that sign have also not met requirements, or should that sign then have, I know that this may be a pedantic question, but okay, never mind, I reject it. Thanks.
This is Ashley, I have a quick question.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Who will ultimately decide if this is in color or black and white?
Well, that would be us probably.
Okay.
The staff is just making a recommendation. I don't think that was, there's nothing, Key College, just to clarify, there's nothing technically that would prevent them from doing color. That was just the staff's determination.
Yes, that was just our recommendation. We really didn't get any feedback from the public, and we just kind of wanted to, stay on the safer side of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, all, that's totally fair.
You all definitely have the, decision
to. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Thanks for that question, Ashley. Did you have anything else, Ashley?
No, that was it.
Tom, go ahead.
This is Tom. Am I on? Oh, yeah. This is Tom. I have to admit, I've been on this committee for 10 years almost now, and we have never actually, suggested that a mural be in black and white. I have to admit, as far as I can know. I mean,
we chose black and white because the petitioner gave two options of color, full color or black and white. Okay. So just taking those options, we felt like the black and white would be, more appropriate given the existing area. So that's where the black and white came from.
Okay. Yeah, well, I would say that personally then, I understand your reasoning. I'm just pointing out that, I've never seen a case come up where they try to say that because it's color, it's going to be more distracting or it's going to cause accidents or whatever. And I just wanted to point that out. And the fact that I would leave it up to the actual person who owns the mural to decide whether they want it in black and white or color personally.
That's
good. Yes. Oh, am I there? Yeah. And that is true. I mean, so it is in the application. I saw that because I did think that was an odd recommendation, but they did in the application, they did give the option of doing black and white or color. I think we all are strongly in favor of the color version. Go ahead, Sean.
Thank you. This is Sean, moving completely off of the color. Okay. Just as a point of reference, are we making a recommendation to council, or are we having final say? By the shaking of Leah's head, it shows
so this is
we have the
private property, correct?
Okay.
It's private property.
Just wanted to double click.
Yeah, it's private property, so it'll be a decision.
Any other questions? Lisa, Ashley?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa Watson. Tom, I guess we are neighbors because I go past this every day and I'm really thrilled about this project. And there's a Wendy's right down the street, which is full of color. So I don't think there's any problem with the full color design.
All good.
I think they've learned their lesson. But to reiterate, the application does clearly they did clearly say they could do it either in color or, and maybe that's a question for the petitioner as well. Does anyone else have any questions of staff? No more questions. Thanks, Kiyokala. Appreciate that. And you said the petitioner is here to speak. So petitioner, if you're here, could you just state your name, your affiliation, and whatever you'd like to say?
Oh, hi there. my name's Elise. Yeah, thank you for hearing about my mural proposal. the artist does do great color. I think we were just we were undecided in our design, whether which direction we wanted to go to, but we're still deciding, but I wanted to just make sure I was approved one way or the other before moving forward. But I do think the color will really like add a lot of life to this street.
Is that all you wanted to say?
Yeah, and just introduce myself.
That's fine. You're not required. But I think as Tom, I agree, as Tom said, the artist seems like a great colorist, so it would almost be a shame. Of course, that's up to you guys. I mean, I think, you know, I would leave personally, I would be inclined to leave that up to the artist, but I mean, that's also, I think, a discussion we can have. So do anyone else have a questions of the petitioner?
This is not the exact design. I just took one of his like previous works and to get an idea, but it will be floral and it'll be similar.
Thank you. Sean, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Sean. Elise, great job on picking something to do with this. Exactly what I believe Tom it was you said, this drab, very bland section of the street. I think it's going to add a huge amount of life to it. My only question is the portion off the almost white cement side, is there a reason why you didn't want to include that into the mural, or was it just for keeping everything as combined as possible?
Are you referring to like the space on the left of the mural or the whole building on the right? Because my business will be in both buildings.
The space on the left, where it's like, the block side, like the.
Yeah. Well, I think we just liked the like way it kind of draped over the window asymmetrically. And then on the left, we will have a sign that will be hanging off on that pole that sticks out.
Okay, thank you.
But we will be painting the whole building, so it'll complement, you know, it'll all look fresh. It won't just be the mural and everything else will stay the same.
Okay, thank you. Great decision and thinking outside of the box idea as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a center for art, so I thought it would be nice.
So any other questions of the petitioner? Lisa, Ashley, any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Lisa.
This is Lisa Watson. What is that material you're painting? Is it vinyl or is it wood?
It's wood. Right there, it's wood. This building has a lot of different materials on it, but this section is mostly wood paneling, and I think on the right next to the window is cement.
Okay.
I have a question. Is the artist here or no?
No, he wasn't available.
So I have a question regarding the color. I mean, is that something that you will determine with him or he'll determine or?
Yeah, we will figure it out together. You mean as regards to like which exact colors we use?
I was just curious if there was a preference. It seemed quite odd actually that there was the option of black and white or color, just because, as everybody else said, it's so vibrant. The colors are so vibrant. I just thought it was an odd, that's totally your prerogative. But well, I was just curious.
The only reason we were considering black and white is because, like, our studio colors, like if we're a team, is black, white, and red. I was like considering doing black and white flowers with maybe like red, like, you know, a red awning, something, an accent of red somewhere. Or just going full on color and it not having anything to do with like our team colors. So
that determination has still at this time that determination hasn't, you guys haven't figured that part out.
No, I'm kind of torn between, but for the reason that he's such a good colorist. And also, I mean, I'm trying to get feedback from people to see what would be preferred.
I think there's a very strong sentiment here that the color should be used. Those are the only questions I have.
That helps me also in my decision. So,
we said, Kiyakala, you said that there was no public input pro or con to this that you guys received.
That's correct.
So I'm going to assume there's no one to speak, but are there any members of the public that would like to speak? We can hear them. Now we'll just wait a minute. If you could use the raise your hand feature, We'll wait just a minute to make sure if there's someone that wants to speak on this, pro or con. Doesn't seem like there is. So we will now entertain a discussion. I think that the color palette is an issue. I don't know if there's a, so the staff recommendation is to, could you pull that up, Kiyokala? Could you, the just sure. The staff recommendation so we can make sure we know what we're looking at. So the staff recommendation is the black and white color scheme to utilize the paint utilizes a superior quality intended for exterior use, and that the mural has a weatherproof and vandalism resistant coating. Do we want to amend that and give them the option of doing it either way? Any discussion on that? Lisa, Ashley, Tom, go ahead.
Well, if you're asking, I would like to amend it so that I can support the motion when it's made, to amend it to allow the petitioner to choose whether he wants, or he or she wants to do it in black and white or color, because I would not want to eliminate the option of doing it in a color scheme.
Because if we just approve this, the staff recommendation is that it be black and white. So someone would make a motion to approve with the option of also using color. I guess they would just be able to do black and white or color. Does that sound accurate, acceptable?
Yeah.
Lisa, Ashley, anyone?
That sounds great.
Somebody wants to make a motion. Go ahead, Sean.
This is Sean. I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation with the addition to point one, where it's that the black and white color scheme be utilized, to change that to the black and white color scheme, or the black and white or proposed color scheme in the provided picture be utilized.
So to be clear, so we're approving staff recommendation with the provision that they be allowed to use the color. Or we can just remove the first condition.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendations with points two and three and number one omitted.
Okay. So the motion is to approve staff recommendation with the number one recommendation omitted. Is there a second?
This is Ashley. Second.
Oh, this is Tom Gensheimer. I was going to second it.
Moved and seconded. So we're going to go ahead and go down. Just say your name and say yay or nay. And we'll start with Lisa and then Ashley. Lisa, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ashley?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Tom?
It's Tom. I absolutely.
And Eileen?
Aye.
And so the motion passes. Thank you. This looks great. We can't wait to see it. Is the petitioner still there? If you do have an unveiling or something, feel free to invite us. We love those kind of things.
I would love to. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we are to item three, which is the Civil War Memorial Task Force discussion. So I brought this up at the last meeting, and I was promptly quieted because we didn't have this on the official agenda. So now we have it on the official agenda. And so I apologize for that breach of protocol. That was my mistake. So what I want to do really briefly is just go over really quickly the recommendations of the Confederate Memorial Task Force report, which was done at the end of 2017, I believe. I can see that. And then also just go over the, yeah, thank you for that. And then also go over the Civil War Memorial Task Force report, which was done more recently this past October 2020, just so everyone is sort of aware of exactly what the recommendations of these task force are. Task forces have, these reports have been, and also I know Ashley and Eileen, this was before their time. So this will help kind of bring us all up to speed. I do want to say at the outset, I want to clarify that we as a board do not have the authority to unilaterally take action on any of these, it is going to take the mayor and city council. I think there might have been some confusion out there that whether we are able to take action. We can make recommendations, and we have made recommendations to the mayor and city council, but it's going to need a cooperation with them to actually get something done. So I'm going to make this really brief, and then I'm going to open it up and just see what the rest of the board thinks. But just to go really quickly, if you could pull up the Confederate Memorial Task Force, go down to page 14, because that's where the recommendations start. The recommendations are actually reiterated in the Civil War Memorial Task Force. So I'm just going to read these off very briefly, just so everyone is aware of what this was. Soon type. This task force was convened under the previous administration, Eddie Deloche, and these task force recommendations were voted on by the previous city council and adopted. The first recommendation was to rename the Confederate monument to the Civil War Memorial. I'm not going to read all of the details. Both of these reports are online on the city's website if anybody wants to go read, and I encourage them to, but I'm not going to go through all of this. The second recommendation was to preserve all historical material on the memorial. The third recommendation was to install a new bronze plaque on the blank horizontal panel on the south side of the memorial with this text. This memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, and rededicated in 2018 to all the dead of the American Civil War. The fourth recommendation was do not alter the blank vertical panel on the south side of the memorial. And to be clear, earlier in this report, it details all of these changes and what sort of changes this monument went through over the years, because it has been changed and revised many times over the years. The recommendation number five was to relocate the McLaws and Bartow monuments to Laurel Grove North Cemetery. That's a point we're going to come back to. The recommendation six is do not replace the Bartow and McLaws monuments at the memorial site. Recommendation number seven was to preserve the fence around the memorial in the current elliptical shape. Recommendation eight was the community expands the story of the Civil War, its causes, and its effects throughout Savannah, other than at the Forsyth Park Confederate Memorial site. And there's more details under that about what exactly that means. I'm not going to go through all that at this time. So those were the initial recommendations. I'm going to skip over now to the Civil War Memorial Task Force. So they renamed themselves the Civil War Memorial Task Force according to one of their own recommendations. So that was their prerogative. And this came out just this past October, on October 1st, 2020. So a number of these recommendations were reiterated, and a few of them were revised. For instance, the one of moving the Bartow and McLaws bus to Laurel Grove Cemetery, that is not legal under the current law. So they determined they needed to revise that. So the new recommendations start on...
I think they only page listed 12. The ones they revised. Is that
accurate? Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. That's page 12. So thank you for that. So they did revise. So I apologize. They didn't reiterate. They just revised the recommendations they thought needed to be revised. So the revised recommendation number five was to remove the McLaws and Bartow monuments and place them in storage until such time as the city of Savannah can identify a proper location for them. We'll come back to that point as well, but I'm just going to go ahead and go through the other additional recommendations. And then there's number nine, which is the city of Savannah consistently refer to the memorial as the Civil War Memorial in all city communications, including the city website and official city documents. That's something that could happen tonight. I mean, that there's no laws preventing that. That's something that could easily happen now. I frankly think all of these could happen now, but additional recommendation number 10 was to include the amendment of the Georgia state laws preventing local governments from altering and or removing monuments and memorials that no longer serve the needs of their constituents to the 2021 City of Savannah legislative agenda. The additional recommendation number 11, just under that, calls to install one new interpretive sign mounted in the ground outside of the memorial fence with a panel that incorporates a pictorial timeline of the memorial site. There's an appendix down below. And the text, quote, in 2018, the city of Savannah approved the relocation of the two busts moved here from Chippewa Square in 1910 from the memorial's grounds and the placement of a new plaque on the memorial that states, this memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, and rededicated in 2018 to all the dead of the American Civil War. A Georgia law strengthened in 2019 currently prevents the city from taking these actions. And there's an additional recommendation underneath number 12. And this was a subject of conversation when this first when this task force report came out. City council and mayor asked this board to weigh in on this, and there was considerable conversation about this recommendation. So recommendation number 12 was the Savannah City Council should establish a permanent culture, history, and education committee. It would have a rotating membership comprised of citizens representing Savannah's six districts, in addition to experts in the fields of education, tourism, and history. The committee would advise city leadership and staff on ways to expand Savannah's understanding and interpretation of all the city's history, especially related to the experiences of American Blacks, Native Americans, and women. This would be done through new static and living memorials as well as public engagement, outreach, education, and discussion of that history in new dynamic and meaningful ways. That's a lot. and we don't need to go into all of that I think that's a lot to chew on. So I just scrolled down, and so there are the recommendations. I think that this is where they did reiterate, actually. If you scroll down to page 17, so I think these are just reiterating the earlier recommendations, which didn't change from the previous report. Yeah, those are all the same as the earlier one. In addition to this, Luciana Sprecher included a report about the Bartow and McLaws bus, indicating their history and the fact that they were originally placed, they were not part of that memorial to begin with, and they were placed there in when this park was a whites-only park. So there's a clear message being sent with those. And as is stated in these reports, and that there's pictures that Leah's scrolling through here that shows the history, what it used to look like, this monument has gone through multiple revisions over the years. And so that brings us to basically where we are now, which is nothing has changed. And we have, this board has weighed in on the previous task force report and this task force report, including sending a memo and a letter to the mayor and city council urging them to act expediently on this. I will also add that there are four municipalities that have acted on this with the existing law in place. Decatur, Georgia, Athens, Georgia, Henry County, and Rockdale County. There may be more, but those are the ones, and these all happen within, I just forgot my notes. They happened within June to August of last year. So, and I also want to make one clarification to the board. I had stated that I had spoken with the Decatur city attorney, which I have, and I did speak with him again, and I had brought up the idea of him doing a presentation to us. So I made a mistake. He indicated he is not too keen on doing a presentation in public to a public commission. He's more than happy. He said that he would be more than happy to talk with our legal counsel, Pamela Everett, or the city attorney and do a one-on-one consultation. And he is open and available to have those conversations, but he was a little bit reluctant to come and actually do a presentation. So that option is not necessarily on the table at this point. So that said, the question is, you know, where do we go from here, and what can we do as a board to get more to get them to do something on this. I would say, one thing I just want to say, the last thought I have is that the mayor and city council are doing a fantastic job, in my opinion. I think they've got a lot on their plate. They're doing a lot right now, but that's just, there's always going to be a lot going on. So the idea that like there's too much going on, that this can't be handled, I feel like there's so many forward-thinking things that the mayor and city council are doing. This fits right in there with it, and we're not setting precedent here. There's multiple other municipalities that have already taken these moves, and there's really no reason that Savannah should be lagging behind on this. Those are my thoughts. I'll be honest, I'm kind of at a loss as to what we think the next step would be. I know Sean mentioned getting on a workshop with the city council to have a conversation. Leah, did you want to say something before I open it up to the board? Sorry.
I did just want to mention that you received some public comment on this item from Artis Wood. Is she present too?
Okay. And what's the date for this? Oh, this just came in today.
No, on the second.
Oh, the second.
Yesterday.
Okay.
I just wanted you all to be aware of it.
Okay, thank you. I do appreciate that. Can you give me the gist of it so I don't sit here in silence while I read it?
It's mostly about the busts.
Uh-huh.
And she seems to agree that the two busts don't seem to have much connection. Yeah. The soldier at rest, however, is haunting and instructive to me. He's not a hero or a villain, just an everyday man caught up in horror war.
Okay.
So she had some recommendations on, what should be there instead.
Possibly. It sounds like I'm just scanning over this. I thank you for bringing that up. I'm scanning over this, and I think that one of the things that would be instructive to a lot of the members of the public, the media, et cetera, is to actually take a look at these task force reports and the recommendations. They're very reasonable. Not everybody is going to be happy, but what it sounds like, I'm just scanning over this letter, sounds like that she's saying pretty much what these reports are saying, which is the monument itself, the obelisk that's at the top of the hill, is not the most offensive part of this memorial. And if we rename it the Civil War Memorial and honor all of the individuals who died in that war, including African-American soldiers and Union soldiers, it's a lot less egregious. Those two busts are the descendants of both of those individuals have also called for them to be removed, which I think is a telling thing. I did my own research on those two individuals, and I could I'm not going to sully myself by saying in some of the quotes, but it would make your head spin. And these are not quotes that were said like locker room talk. This is what these men stake their reputation on. And the reason they're there is to clearly send a message. They were put there when the park was a whites only park. To me, it's akin to leaving up whites only signs at the public pool and saying, oh, we need to remember history. Let's keep this up. That's an absurdity. No one would say that. So anyway. There is no reason that this law prevents us from preserving and protecting these busts if we relocate them to a place of similar prominence. Now, that's an open question, what that means, similar prominence. But that's why the recommendation is to put them into storage until a decision can be made on that. I would reiterate, I agree with all of these recommendations, and I don't think there's any reason to wait on any of them, particularly just referring to the memorial as a Civil War memorial on the website. You could change that with an editing tool. Sean, go ahead. You had a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I have stated my opinions on this very, very, very vociferously. One, how on earth we still as a society have to refer to a monument only by the losers of the war? Like it or not, the Confederacy, and this is not a matter of debate, the Confederacy lost the war. If you want to put a monument up, put it up to the guy who won the war, one of the many generals who won the war, General William Tecumseh Sherman. Nobody wants to put a general monument up about Sherman. Why? Because he actually destroyed the traitorous, rebellious states in the Confederacy. It was Sherman who did it, but nobody wants a memorial to him. How we are still even debating whether or not to leave this monument listed as the Confederate monument negates the people who actually died saving this country. I mean, going all the way back to 1789, when the U.S. Constitution was ratified by the Constitutional Convention, it said the federal government reigns supreme, not the states. And then it was reaffirmed by the, I'm going to mix up my Supreme Court decisions. I want to say it was Marbury v. Madison. No, McCulloch v. Maryland, which said no law of the state can outdo the federal government. And I'm paraphrasing the rulings. But why on earth are we still taking homage to a lost cause, a loser cause of the Confederacy? Sorry, the Union won. It's not a matter of debate. I mean, and knowing that it was erected in 1890 to 1901, guess what? There were also a lot of other monuments that were erected in that time. They were all erected by the KKK or some splinter cell of that. This is absolutely disgusting that we have to sit here as a society and look at things that literally honor traitors.
Let me try to reframe. Thanks, Sean. Let me try to reframe the conversation. I don't know the heart and mind of every single city council member or the mayor. It is not my impression that they are opposed to this. I think we're just dealing with inaction. So I think maybe the conversation here should be, how can we help the mayor and city council get to a reasonable decision? I don't think that we're necessarily up against opposition. So maybe let's reframe it in the sense of, like, what can we do as a board to help them to get to a solution on this?
I was just going to say, I'm sorry, this is Melanie Wilson, the executive director for MPC. How are you all?
Hi, Melanie.
I'm going to basically state something that I've stated previously on this subject, and I hope that you all definitely keep this in mind as you're having this discussion. I agree. I don't think that anybody up on council has really big issues with regards to dealing with removing, but of these monuments, it's just it's much more complicated from the standpoint of cost. You know, there has to be, based on the law, it has to be an area for where there's a receiving area, and there's a cost to remove it. I know other jurisdictions have taken some action and removed it, and have discovered some place to deal with it having where it could be placed. But I do want to remind you that there's a cost associated with it, and that very well may be why you don't have action regarding implementing the recommendations from that task force. I know it's important, but I'm just saying there's a financial component to this as well that has to be considered or at least thought about. So if someone has some way to pay for this to be removed, so that if it's presented more comprehensively with, hey, we have a problem with this, and oh, by the way, this is a funder, then you might get a different type of action from the standpoint of them being able to do something more quickly.
Thank you, Melanie. I appreciate that. I will say, and just, you know, as a matter of course, I haven't heard that argument. I've heard other arguments. I appreciate that perspective. However, it costs money to repair those and get the spray paint off of them. I saw a figure of, in I believe Rockdale County, it cost them $36,000. That doesn't seem like an onerous amount of money when you're talking. I appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate that, but I haven't heard anything from city council or mayors complaining that the money was the issue. So I mean, thank you for that, Sean. Does Lisa or Ashley, I can't see you. I don't want to ignore you all if you have any thoughts.
I have a thought. Oh, go ahead, Ashley.
No, you first.
Go ahead, Ashley. I have an idea, and we briefly spoke about.
Lisa, just to make sure that everyone knows who's speaking, this is Lisa Watson speaking, correct?
I feel we need to put a face to the task force in a way that we agree with the task force and maybe get on the schedule to a city council meeting. And this way, if they see us and they could put us on some kind of budget plan or to remove the bus. Does that make sense? Because I agree with Melanie. I know the money thing, and I agree with Chris, is that it costs money to repair vandalism. But I just feel like we should go in front of city council.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that. Ashley, did you have a thought?
I was going to agree with both you and Lisa in terms of kind of going in front of city council. I think that this is a good priority. When we're talking about monuments, we're talking about memorializing something, and I think that we need to be and make them more mindful about what it is exactly that we are memorializing every single day that this continues to be in place here. I do understand that cost does have a factor, but I think that we can push this a little bit further by just kind of reiterating how important and significant this is, especially to be in the position that's located in the major park in our city. I think it's more important than we're giving it credit for.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very much open to that potential, and maybe that is the right course of action. Eileen, did you have any thoughts? I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Yes, I agree that there's a cost component to it to move the statues but there's no cost associated, at least maybe a dollar or two, to rename it from what it currently is to the Civil War Monument. Again, going back to exactly what I said, right now, as it's stated, as it's named, the Confederate Monument, that's leaving out, like I said, the winners. Why are we ignoring the people who won the war and kept this country together? It was a brutal, disgusting, violent war, like it or not. And it was the number one root cause, the major overarching cause was slavery, to end slavery. And to now keep it called Confederate Monument and not renaming it, and it's a stroke of a pen, or in some instances, a keystroke, I might be wrong, to just name it the Civil War Monument, that doesn't really cost anything. Now, back to the cost aspect. The Greenscapes Department is responsible for maintaining and upkeeping the cost. I know I'm going to say the wrong bust, but one of the busts was, in the past couple of months, was vandalized. It cost just that one bust. I'm not exactly, it was stated at the Park and Tree Commission meeting, but the budget for that, to get that bust repaired, was like $10,000 to $20,000 is what it cost. I don't have the exact number, but I do know it was over $10,000 just
Thank
to
you.
Get it repaired.
I appreciate that. I would actually like to know that
every
that figure.
And I'll find out exactly what the cost is. But it was not a cheap cost, and that's happening. That's the second or third time that the vandalism has occurred since the most recent, the Civil War Memorial Task Force was released.
It was vandalized about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It didn't even make the news, but it's being vandalized on a regular basis.
That adds up over and over again. Now, I do want to say one thing, and please, MPC, correct me if I'm wrong. I want to address the aspect of getting on the workshop for city council. I have, as chairman of the Park and Tree Commission, I now sit also as I have a de facto role and membership on the Sites and Monuments Commission. In the role on the Park and Tree Commission, we are also trying to get on the city council's workshop agenda. I recently was notified that in order to get on the agenda for city council workshop, that is going to be a long time off. And we've been trying for months to get on. So it seems like the ability to act is just getting further and further pushed down the road.
Not to maybe deter any conversation, but I don't know how productive it is for us to argue the morality or, you know, the reasoning behind this monument, why it hasn't changed and all this. We all agree with Sean, I am sure, or you know, more or less, the council who or the task force agree with this. I guess our real issue, and I think what Chris is trying to get at, rather than waste our time talking about what should happen, but what we want to have happen, the real question is, you know, I think Chris is trying to propose, and what is really, what do we have the power to do? And I don't know if we have anything. If John says that to get on the workshop, it'll take months or who knows how long. What are our options is what I would like to focus the discussion on. So we're not here all night, you know, grandstanding about how immoral this thing is. That's, I think, besides the point. It's already been decided that it needs to be changed. Why isn't it being changed? That's the thing we need to address, I guess. And I don't think Sean would disagree with me on that one.
No, I appreciate that, Tom. That's kind of why I wanted to reframe this and not relitigate all these recommendations, just how do we get to action on this? And I guess maybe, I don't know if this is a staff question or a legal counsel question. What is the possibility of getting on a workshop sooner rather than later? Also, my other thought on this was, would it be more productive for, I don't want to name any individuals, but I mean, I will say she's already made statements on the record. Alicia Blakely was on this council and she was just on a news program stating that she was very adamantly in favor of doing something. Would it be more productive for me to, or us to, petition an individual city council member to put this on the agenda of a council workshop? Would that be more productive? Maybe I ask that to the rest of the board if you all have a thought on that. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Ironically, you mentioned bringing each individual city council member in front of the board or invite them to attend. That's exactly the solution that I had developed. Again, we haven't moved forward with it, so we still have to vote on that at our June meeting. But yeah, I mean, the only way to really get something done is invite each one of the members, at least the fastest way to get it in front of them, because we've sent letters. We've sent, what, three letters, I believe?
I believe it's three at this point. I don't know for sure, but I think it's about three.
Yeah. And it's just been unfortunate. I mean, I get that right now it's budget season. So, yes, I get that there's a lot going on.
They have a lot on their plate. I'm cognizant of that. And we should be, you know, respectful of that as well.
And again, I think city council is definitely all on the side of doing something about this. It's just like a lot of other people in 2021 and post-2020, they've got so much on their plate. It just one more thing. But I think Christopher, you might have the right suggestion right there. And that's just to do what the Park and Tree Commission did it previously when we couldn't get on the workshop agenda. We just invited each commissioner. They were all willing to attend it. I didn't single any of them out. It's just we had each one attend each specific meeting. It's so we could focus our attention on that one specific commissioner, whether it be specific to an aldermanic district or specific to some of the you mentioned Alicia Blakely earlier, who's a at-large alderwoman. So that's another solution. I think that might actually get a lot more notice and upfront. That might get a lot more reaction sooner rather than later, and then still go with the idea of still trying to get on front of workshop or in front of council as a catch-all.
So I don't want to belabor this too long, and maybe that's the solution we can come to. And I didn't mean to single out Alderwoman Blakely, but she was on this commission and did speak on the record, so I hope she doesn't mind. Lisa and Ashley, how are you feeling about that suggestion?
Hey, this is Lisa. It's a really good idea, Christopher. How do we proceed with that idea?
So we're going to have an answer for you about that at the next meeting.
Absolutely. If I may, this is Melanie again. Yeah. There's a couple points that really need to be made with regards to this topic, and I know that the elected officials have had a lot of discussion around moving these monuments. But one of the things that you all have to keep in mind, and I would suggest that for the law, because it's very, very specifically written, is this. One, I know Athens has come up. The only reason that Athens was able to remove their monuments was because they had, and the law is written where if it has a road or something along those lines, then those monuments can be removed. It just so happened that Athens had already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on purchasing and on a study, and that's how they got theirs moved. The other community, Decatur, they basically had a case went to court. The judge was getting ready to retire, so I guess that was his last big action before he basically stepped down. I also want you also to keep in mind this, and this is really important, and that's probably why you're going to have some challenges with regards to getting the elected officials to be able to do anything. And this is serious. They individually would be liable based on the way the law is written. So they don't get any coverage from the city if this thing goes awry, then they could be sued. So there are a lot of issues that come with this. And one of the things that I might ask that you all consider before kind of going down the path of talking individually to the elected officials. And I don't have a problem making another request for this to be on the agenda for city council, but I wanted to make sure you all knew about that. And that is, have the city attorney come and just break down what the law is and what some of the issues are that they are trying to overcome. I don't want you all to think that they are not looking at what the options are or what they can do. They are. They just have not been able to come up with a solution that does not hold them, does not put them in financial peril individually, and does not make the person that does it, you know, a criminal. That law is very, 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 very specifically written. So I at least wanted to get that on the record, because those other jurisdictions, they met the requirement with regards to, and it's very narrowly defined what you had to do to move the monument. And even with that, they had to have a receiving area. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'll be glad to set up either the attorney coming to talk to you all a little bit more before you move with talking with the elected officials individually. But I did want you to understand what some of the challenges are for them. And thank you for letting me share this information with you.
Thank you, Melanie. I just wanted to respond to that. I appreciate you saying that. However, I respectfully, and Melanie, you know, I love you to death and I have nothing but respect for you, but I'm going to disagree with you on that. I have gone over this law multiple times. I've talked to the Southern Poverty Law Center lawyers. I've also extensively talked with the city attorney, Brian Downs, who is the city attorney for Decatur. And I'm deeply aware of all the all of the cases, including Henry County and Rockdale County. And in the case of Rockdale County, a judge found that the city commissioner who ordered the Confederate monument removed had sovereign immunity. So there is, the courts have repeatedly, now it's still going through the court system, and the courts, you know, there's appeals process underway, but the courts have repeatedly found that all of these municipalities have worked within the law. And the law clearly states if it is in order to protect or preserve, there's a clause in there. I read this at one of the last meetings. It very clearly states that a relocation, quote, shall not be prohibited. That's a key phrase in that law.
I have to say on that, though, Chris, which is what I said, is I think that I appreciate the fact that you have talked with attorneys, and trust me, I've talked to a number of them as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some concern, and it's not like people don't want to have this issue addressed. I just think that if there is an attorney that you all want to have talked to the city attorney and there is some additional law or something that they are missing, then I would suggest that that be the path that you take, because I think that he's very open to having those discussions, but I don't want you all to think that they're not aware of it or trying to come up with a solution. That's my point. But I do know, I mean, I know about the other folks and I know about the Southern Poverty Law, but there are just as many other attorneys that even disagree with that. And that's one of the interesting things about the law and attorneys, which is why I'm suggesting that we have legal talk to whoever you talk with at the Southern Poverty Center or whomever else that you would like to have him speak with to see what can be done, if anything, so that nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to have to face any liability because of the action that they took. So that's my suggestion with regards to a step that you all can consider, because at least it's some action. It's an attorney talking to another attorney, and if there's some agreement, then my God, that's what you need. You need to get some legal clarity on whether this can be done or not.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. I think that maybe you weren't at the meeting that I brought this up at, but I have spoken with our city attorney, Bates Lovett, on multiple occasions, and I've had long conversations with him, actually, and I have reached out to Bates and the city, our city council and the mayor, and told them that the Decatur city attorney was more than willing to talk to them and confer with them. And as far as I know to date, that invitation has not been accepted. So I'm perfectly willing for that, for us to go down that route. But I have personally asked Bates if he would like to talk to the city attorney. And the last time I talked to the Decatur city attorney, which was a couple of weeks ago, he had not spoken to anyone in Savannah but myself. So I'm more than happy to go down that route, and I have actually gone down that route before. If there's something that you can do to forward that conversation, I'd be more than happy. But that's why we're actually having this conversation now, is because we've tried all those routes, and we're still at the place we're at right now. So if you
– I will offer to host that for you. I will do – I mean, I don't have – I mean, I'm just as concerned as you all. I will offer – to work with the city attorney to see if we can set up some type of meeting, Zoom or whatever, to at least for them to have that conversation. I have no problem doing that.
And you're right. I have in my three conversations with him, I'd be more than happy for you to help us with that.
Yeah, I'll be glad to set that up, but it would help your argument at least if you got over that hurdle. I've been trying.
That's why we're here.
I will reach out to him and see when it would be a good time for them to confer and see if there's anybody else, to be honest with you, that might need to be on that conversation as well from other jurisdictions that have been trying to deal with this issue.
I'm more than happy to have yet another conversation with our city attorney.
Okay, I'm just saying I will work to coordinate the meeting between
the. If we can get farther, but I've spoken with him multiple times. If we can, you know, I get more traction, I'm more than open to that.
Okay. And I'll see if there's any other attorneys that you want to have help make that case.
The Decatur city attorney is the person that I've indicated. And Melanie, I don't think you were at the meeting that I actually explained this at before, but the Decatur city attorney, Brian Downs is his name. I've given his name to Pam as well. He has conferred with other municipalities and given them advice, legal advice, because he feels like it's a duty to the community and it's a duty to the bar. And he's said that he'd be happy to talk with our city attorney just one-on-one and confer with him. Now, as I said, I related that information to Mr. Lovett and also to all of city council and to the mayor. And to date, that invitation has not been accepted. So it's still on the table. I talked to him just a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he's more than the Decatur city attorney now is who I'm saying. He would be very helpful in this situation to answer some of these legal questions, because like you said, there are differences of opinion on legalities. And, you know, like a doctor, sometimes you need a second opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm more than happy to have that conversation if you can set it up.
I will work to set that up, and I will work with the city attorney and see about making sure that I coordinate that, and I'll make sure that I let you all know how I'm progressing with that. I'm about to get some questions.
I'll say this, you know, I don't want this to be another cul-de-sac, though. I don't want this to be another conversational cul-de-sac, and us, because that, again, that's why I was kind of telling you what had happened previously.
Okay.
You know, I'm more than happy to have that conversation, but I don't want us to just be here again, you know, 3 months from now because we're saying the same things over and over.
Well, I'm going to try to sit up and see if I can get him to agree to talk to him within the next couple of weeks. So I'm not trying
that. That would be fantastic. I mean, I would really appreciate it if you can get some traction on that. I that would be fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Again, I don't want to belabor this too much, but and maybe that's helpful for Eileen and Ashley to know that I had brought that up to this board before that, and that's where I had landed on. And since City Council and the mayor did not accept the invitation of Decatur City Attorney to talk to them, I thought, well, maybe it would be productive if he comes and talks to us. But he indicated he doesn't necessarily want to do that. So that's why we're here. Okay. To wrap up, where does that put us? Lisa or Ashley, do you have any thoughts? And then Leah, I'll let you say whatever you want to say. I don't want to belabor this too much. Ashley or Lisa, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean,
yeah, this is Lisa. You know, I feel, thank you, Melanie, for doing this. Chris, thank you for all the work you've been doing on this. I think we need to get something in writing, the legal things, and that's what we need to give to City Council at this point. Because if we keep verbally saying it, it just goes out into space. We need the legal actions that we're allowed to do on paper. Right?
So you're wanting to know what the hangup is, what the legal hangups are that we need, what are the legal hurdles that are perceived by the city attorney / city council mayor? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe what the hurdles are, but it doesn't seem like there are hurdles. So we need
That's sort of the problem is there's a difference of a legal opinion here. And I think that's sort of the crux of the matter.
Excuse me. One of the things I just actually gave the city attorney a quick call, and he has got the week of the 14th.
Okay.
That's available. So I'm going to get the information, try to set something up during that week. I just wanted to.
I really do appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. Lisa, were you finished with your thought?
Yeah, that was my thought. Thanks, Melanie, for perceiving.
But I do agree with that. So we can wrap this up. But Sean, you had something else to say, and we'll try to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I just have one quick, I don't know, you want to call it epiphany or an idea. So essentially then, could we, so from what I'm hearing from Melanie, and thank you very much again for all of your insight, you continue to show how much knowledge and insight you have to what's going on, and I greatly appreciated everything that you do. From what Melanie said, it sounds like really exactly what we've also all been saying, is City Council really just doesn't have the bandwidth to be able to tackle something of this, unfortunately, and sadly, complex, and I put that word in quotes, matter. So would it be okay in the purview of this commission if we asked City Council for us to be able to investigate and see what legal hurdles, if anything, exactly what you're essentially already saying to do, and to work with the city attorney and other parties? Is that something that we could even do as a board to suggest if I made that motion?
Well, perhaps that's the next step then, because that's what I was trying to like unscramble my brain and go, okay, so what are we doing next year? So maybe that Melanie says that we're gonna, you know, she can, and Melanie is awesome, by the way. She's a force to be reckoned with. She's amazing. But maybe the next step is that I have this conversation with our city attorney and plot out what are the perceived hurdles? What do we need to get over? What are the issues? And then
if I may, guys, what I would suggest is let's sit up and have the meeting. Let's get the city attorney comfortable with whatever he discovers with talking with the other attorneys. And then maybe from there, a strategy could be developed on how to move forward. I think if the city attorney gets comfortable, that helps with moving forward with what the next steps would be. That's just a suggestion. Like,
yeah, why that makes sense. I appreciate that. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.
I appreciate all you're doing, Melanie, and I appreciate your insight there. Okay. I mean, does that sound acceptable to everyone? Lisa, Ashley?
Just.
Uh-oh. Everybody okay on the other side?
Yes.
Everyone's asleep now.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lisa. Sorry.
No, I agree with what we're doing and what Melanie is doing and what everyone's doing.
Okay.
Mrs. Ashley, I also agree.
Okay. Thank you all.
I just had one question. I'm wrapping it. One question, Christopher, just the one question. For that meeting, I don't know, maybe would anybody else on the HSMC also be able to attend, or would you prefer it only be kept?
Melanie, what's your read on that? She's still there? Let me, how about I'll ask her. I don't have a problem. I don't want it to be a confusing conversation, however, but I'm totally open to whatever. I will reach out to her. And if Sean, if you want to be part of that conversation, I don't have a problem with that if she thinks that's an appropriate. Does anyone else, if Melanie thinks that's appropriate and the city attorney thinks that's appropriate, does anyone else have an interest in being in that conversation if that's determined that is? Lisa, Ashley, no one?
I would. This is Lisa.
Okay. Let me reach out. I'll follow up with Melanie after we Director Wilson, I should say, getting a little too familiar, but I'll reach out to her and I will get back to Sean and Lisa. And because honestly, I think it would be helpful if there are multiple people on that conversation to just so we all know what's going on. Okay. We've beat the dead horse. Thank you all for that. And hopefully we can get some movement on this and we don't have to talk about this ever, ever again. That would be my wish. Never have to talk about this again. Leah, did you have any other parting thoughts? Do we have applications for the next meeting? Okay, so we will have the next meeting on July the 1st, 2021 at 4 p.m. Thank you all for your perseverance. And this meeting is now adjourned.